In the period of the war, I would have thought that it was a question of what the man was like, what he would and wouldn't do. Certainly fellow traveling and party membership raised a question, and a serious question.
Rob, were you ever a fellow traveler?
Oppenheimer, I was a fellow traveler.
Rob, when?
Oppenheimer, from late 1936 or early 1937, and then it tapered off, and I would say I traveled much less fellow after 1939 and very much less after 1942. While preparing for the hearing, Rob had seen numerous references in the FBI files to Oppenheimer's 1943 interview with Lieutenant Colonel Boris Pasch. The files indicated this interview had been recorded.
"Where are those recordings?" Rob asked.
The FBI soon retrieved the 10-year-old Presto discs, and Rob listened to Oppenheimer's first description of the Chevalier incident. It differed markedly from what he had told the FBI in 1946. Obviously, Oppenheimer had lied in one of these interviews, and so Rob came prepared to exploit the contradictory stories. Oppenheimer, of course, had no idea that his conversation with Pasch had been recorded. So when Rob turned to the Chevalier incident, he knew the details far better than Oppenheimer could now recall them. Rob began by reminding Oppenheimer of his brief interview with Lieutenant Johnson in Berkeley on August 25, 1943.
Oppenheimer, that is right. I think I said little more than that Eltonton was somebody to worry about.
Rob,
yes.
Oppenheimer, then I was asked why did I say this. Then I invented a cock and bull story. Unfazed by this startling admission, Rob focused on what Oppenheimer had told Lieutenant Colonel Boris Pasch on the following day, August 26th.
Rob, did you tell Pasch the truth about this thing?
Oppenheimer,
no.
Rob,
you lied to him?
Oppenheimer,
yes.
Rob,
what did you tell Pasch that was not true?
Oppenheimer, that Eltonton had attempted to approach members of the project, three members of the project, through intermediaries.
A few moments later, Rob asked, did you tell Pasch that X, Chevalier, had approached three persons on the project?
Oppenheimer, I am not clear whether I said there were three X's or that X approached three people.
Rob, didn't you say that X had approached three people?
Oppenheimer,
probably.
Rob,
why did you do that, Doctor?
Oppenheimer, because I was an idiot.
An idiot?
Why did Oppenheimer say such a thing?
According to Rob, Oppenheimer was in a state of anguish, cornered, as it were, by the clever prosecutor.
After the hearing, Rob dramatized the moment to a reporter, saying that as Oppenheimer said these words, he was hunched over, wringing his hands, white as a sheet. I felt sick. That night when I came home, I told my wife, I've just seen a man destroy himself. This description was nonsense, self-serving publicity designed to promote Rob's courtroom image and his humanity. I felt sick. It is a measure of how cleverly Rob and Strauss manipulated the aftermath of the Oppenheimer hearings that journalists and historians have heretofore accepted Rob's interpretation of this moment. But contrary to what Rob claimed, Oppenheimer's "I was an idiot" comment was simply meant to eliminate the ambiguity surrounding the Chevalier incident. He was making it clear that he had no rational explanation as to why he had said that X, Chevalier, had approached three people. Robert knew that everyone knew he was not an idiot. He was using a colloquial phrase in a self-deprecating attempt to disarm his interrogator. Within minutes, however, it would become clear to him that he had not succeeded in disarming anyone. He was facing an adversary bent on destroying him. Rob had only begun. Oppenheimer had admitted lying. Now Rob was going to confront him with the evidence and in painful detail dramatize the lie. Pulling out a transcript of Colonel Pasch's encounter with Oppenheimer on August 26, 1943, Rob said, "Doctor, I will read to you certain extracts from the transcript of that interview." He then read a portion from the 11-year-old transcript in which Oppenheimer asserted that someone in the Soviet consulate was ready to transmit information without any danger of a leak or scandal. When Rob asked if he recalled saying this to Pasch, Oppenheimer said he certainly didn't recall saying such a thing.
"Would you deny you said it?" Rob asked.
Realizing, of course, that Rob had in his hand a transcript, Oppenheimer replied,
"No."
Rob melodramatically announced, "Doctor, for your information, I might say we have a record of your voice."
"Sure," Oppenheimer replied. But he went on to say that he was fairly certain that Chevalier had not mentioned someone from the Soviet consulate when he told him about Eltonton's idea. But he had given this detail to Colonel Pash and had also told Pash that there had been several, not one, approaches to scientists.
Rob, so you told him specifically and circumstantially that there were several people that were contacted?
Oppenheimer.
Right.
Rob, and your testimony now is
that was a lie?
Oppenheimer.
Right.
Rob continued reading from the 1943 transcript.
Of course, Oppenheimer had told Pash, the actual fact is that since it is not a communication that ought to be taking place, it is treasonable.
Did you say that? Rob asked.
Oppenheimer.
Sure.
I mean, I am not remembering the conversation, but I am accepting it.
Rob. You did think it was treasonable anyway, didn't you?
Oppenheimer.
Sure.
Rob, quoting the transcript again. But it was not presented in that method. It is a method of carrying out a policy which was more or less a policy of the government. The form in which it came out was that couldn't an interview be arranged with this man Eltonton, who had a very good contact with a man from the embassy attached to the consulate, who is a very reliable guy and who had a lot of experience in microfilm or whatever.
Did you tell Colonel Pash, Rob asked, that microfilm had been mentioned to you?
Oppenheimer.
Evidently.
Rob. Was that true?
Oppenheimer.
No.
Rob. Then Pash said to you, well now, I may be getting back to a little systematic picture. These people whom you mention, two are down with you now in Los Alamos, were they contacted by Eltonton direct?
You answered,
no.
Pash then said, through another party?
Oppenheimer.
Yes.
In other words, Rob summed up, you told Pash that X, Chevalier, had made these other contacts, didn't you?
Oppenheimer.
It seems so.
Rob.
That wasn't true?
Oppenheimer. That is right. This whole thing was a pure fabrication except for the one name, Eltonton.
With his client now genuinely squirming, Garrison finally interrupted this painful interrogation to ask Gray,
Mr. Chairman, could I just make a short request at this point?
Gray.
Yes.
Garrison politely wondered if it would not be within the proprieties of this kind of proceeding when counsel reads from a transcript for us to be furnished with a copy of the transcript as he reads from it. This, of course, is orthodox in a court of law.